41. Cliff looked down at what the folk called their mooring mountain. They said it held a shelter for this skyfish, but it was far beneath them, barely visible through stacked gray cumulus clouds. The ship crew had leaped into action after the big long boom pressed through the skyfish. They had all rushed to the big transparent wall, mouths gaping, not heeding the shouted orders of Beemore. The male folk stamped his feet in an accelerating rhythm, big, hard thuds. That snapped the crew out of their funk, and they followed his barking orders. The humans and Syl did not know what was going on, so they moved to the wall, now deserted, to look out. Cliff saw far overhead an upside-down tornado. In profile, it looked like a funnel. Within it, huge clouds churned in an ever-tightening upward spiral, turning somber purple as moisture condensed within them. The lower levels of the air were clear, so Cliff knew he was seeing far up into the atmosphere. The conical cloud was fat and white at the bottom, and tapered upward into a narrow purple-dark neck. Even at this great distance, Cliff could see flashes of blue and orange lightning between immense clouds. Across the sky, other high decks of stratocumulus were edging toward the inverted hurricane. He was looking at a puncture in the high envelope.
"They're trying to ground the skyfish in this storm," Irma said.
The skyfish dove deeper and shuddered with the racking winds. Irma and the others watched the high vortex churn as if it could change, but Cliff knew with a wry-sinking feeling that it could only worsen. A huge, deep atmosphere would take a long time to empty out into space, but the pressure drop would drive weather hard. He wondered if the folk could patch a big rip in the high, shimmering envelope from the way Beemore was lumbering around and barking at the crew. He doubted it. He looked down and saw they were headed for the nearest clear ground they could find within quick reach, the mooring mountain. A.B. pointed. "The crew. They're taking that machine away with Tannen and Reeve in it. Damn. We get her back, and then right away she's goddamn gone."
"We're all gone, really," Terry said. "No chance of getting out of this living blimp that I can see."
Irma was talking to Quirt and reported back.
"That's a kind of folk redoubt we're approaching. They can shelter there."
Quirt came over.
"Wind hard, anchor skyfish it hard."
As if to demonstrate, the skyfish lurched, and they all fell to the deck. Cliff tucked in and rolled, coming up to look out the transparent wall just in time to see a brilliant yellow lightning strike descend from a high cloud. Unlike on Earth, this one snaked down, shooting side bolts as it kept going. The distance was so much, Cliff could see the entire brilliant streamer, the vibrant, bristling conducting path for electrons seeking the ground. Like a lazy snake, it slid sideways in a long twist. Then it hit the mountain below and snapped off, just vanished, in an instant. The thunderclap shook the entire skyfish, and Terry, who had already gotten back up, came crashing down again. Something rumbled in the pink walls nearby. The skyfish went into a steep descent.
"It fears," Quirt said.
"Me too," Irma added.
Everybody stayed down, hugging the deck that reeked with some slimy fluid. The skyfish tilted and turned violently. More lightning scratched across a lead sky. The skyfish hit like a fat balloon. It squashed and flexed, the walls of their big chamber collapsing down, then wheezing with the effort to rebound. The walls thumped with the slow, massive heartbeat of the skyfish. Cliff heard bones snap and the soft rip of tissues deep in the walls. Blood ran across the deck.
"Let us go fast, my friends," Quirt said.
They fled. As Cliff followed the sill down fleshy corridors that reeked of fluids he did not want to think about, sloshing boot-deep through it, he recalled something his army uncle had said once. "Try to get all your posthumous medals in advance."